Hey everyone, welcome to the Bridgepoint Message Podcast. My name's Andy and I oversee our digital ministry team here at Bridgepoint. Over the past few weeks, we've been going through a series called Deep Waters. Today, we're excited to transition this series into its second half. We're calling it Navigating Deep Waters. It's hard to deny that we live in a broken world. Watch the news and get pounded with shootings, riots, and terrorist attacks. Natural disasters such as fires, hurricanes, floods, and tornadoes claim many lives each year. And despite all our medical advances, thousands of people die every year from disease and illness. At some point, we may be thrown into the middle of that brokenness. And no matter what we do, all seems lost. So what do we do when we reach that point? In this first message of the series, Navigating Deep Waters, Tyler teaches what we can do when real life hurts.
All right, happy Sunday, Bridgepoint. How we doing? Am I feeling good? Yeah, today has started really strong. Good feedback after the first service. Therefore, I'm confident God wants to continue doing something special in this place today. So I'm glad that you're here. Glad that you're engaging with us, leaning in, whether in the room or online. Of course, downtown Seminole folks, our Clearwater folks that are dispersed everywhere. God is at work. And I'm glad that you're joining us on this special Sunday. So thanks for tuning in. We are starting week one of kind of a pivot for what was our June series. So our June series was Deep Waters. This is week one of Navigating Deep Waters. In other words, June was very much about introspection, learning a lot about ourselves so that we can take those things to Jesus so that Jesus can do what only Jesus can do, which is that transforming work of our hearts and our lives. This month is how we navigate and live with the faith that God produces in us. The big idea for Deep Waters, just to catch everybody up, last month's series was this. Deep Waters, this whole series, what we're aiming at is a faith in Jesus, simple enough for a child, but strong enough for life. Simple enough for a child that anyone can respond to the love of God. Anyone can recognize their brokenness, admit that we are broken, sinful individuals in need of rescue, in need of restoration, in need of redemption for our lives. That we can trust that, but it's also a faith that's strong enough for life, because there's no pretending that this life is ever intended to be easy. In fact, just to be abundantly clear, you or I could do all the right things. We may have grown up in Sunday school, been to church all our lives, have all the right Bible-y answers, give enough money, attend every week or online when we miss. We could do all the right things and life will still be life. This life is not as God intended it, because God intended a perfect world with great communion and relationship with him. Sin entered the world through man. Sin enters and continues to enter the world through me, through you, through all of us, because we are broken people. And this world has felt the effects of sin ruining everything. And so the point of this series is to give us a faith that doesn't become a crutch, a faith that isn't just supposed to take away all the bad, as if that were an option, but a faith that allows us to navigate all circumstances in life, even those that are difficult. That's what this is about. Something strong enough for life, something that can handle life's problems, something that can mean something in the midst of life's difficulties. In fact, just to jump off today, I want to process with this question, because in order to navigate these deep waters, to rely on that type of a faith, then let's start with the heavy-hitting question. I got to give you a heads up. Today's message is about real life. It's about real struggle. And I can confess and acknowledge that for many of you, this message may sit on the heavy side. It's a lot to process. And we'll begin it with this question. What do we do when it seems like we've lost? What do we do when it seems like we've lost? When we're out of answers, when the circumstance didn't turn around, when it didn't go the way we wanted it to or hoped it to or prayed that it would. What do we do when it seems like we've lost? What do we do when the doctor's report is not what we wanted? What do we do when the relationship actually completely falls apart? What do we do when the circumstances are tight, the finances are struggling, the loss is real? To take it a step further and to acknowledge some of the heartache that exists not only in this room but on all Bridgepoint campuses, including online, what do we do when we lose that person, that family member, when we lose the dream or the hope, when we lose the job, the plan? What do we do when it seems like we've lost? Is faith big enough to handle those moments? Because the temptation for a lot of people is when this moment comes, you go to God. Especially the temptation for a lot of us in church is to say, God, I've been doing this my whole life. And now that life's gotten difficult, my biggest question is, God, is where are you? Where are you in all of this? Do you see this? Do you see my tears? Can you feel and process my pain? God, do you know what I'm going through? And what do you do then? What do you do in those moments? I gotta acknowledge right off the bat a couple things that are really, really important. And it's a question that none of us will be able to answer this side of heaven, but I cannot answer why God allows bad things to happen to good people. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to not so good people. It's just, that's life, right? And I can't begin to try to get into the mind and the understanding of a God that, praise God, is altogether different than I am. That's why he's God and I'm not. I can't answer the why questions. But I also need to acknowledge up front that God will never cause evil or cause bad things to happen to us. God is the giver of good gifts. In fact, every good and perfect gift comes from him. And as a good father, he loves to give good gifts to his children. So please don't mistake in the moments where we're questioning what to do when it feels like we've lost everything. Please make sure we differentiate the difference between what God has allowed versus what God has caused. Those are very different perspectives that will lead to different places. And the trust today is to begin with the acknowledgement that God will never cause evil to you. That's not who he is. It's not what he does. But that still doesn't answer the question, what do we do when this is our circumstance? And again, some of you are walking in knowing the feel of this question because you're living it. Some of you are walking in having recently gone through a tough season. If you're not in one of those two scenarios, then the reality is because of the nature of life, some of us are heading into a season like that. And we're not even sure what that's gonna look like yet because life sometimes is really hard. That's what I wanna talk about today. Because to live out this faith, to take Jesus at his word, for God to show up and be who God only could be for us and in the ways that we can't be for ourselves, then it's got to begin with a conversation of what about when life is at its worst? Today, we want to have a conversation based off of the story of a guy named Job. It's recorded in the Old Testament. If you're familiar with the Bible, if you've been around church for any length of time, maybe you're familiar with Job's story. It's kind of a whirlwind. It sits and lands a little bit heavy. If you're not familiar with it, then I'm gonna give you a full introduction into Job's life today. Again, acknowledging that Job's story isn't one that's full of sunshine. It's not full of happy thoughts a lot of the times, and it's actually quite difficult. You see, Job was described as an upright, God-fearing guy. Job was the combination of Jeff Bezos's wealth and influence and the care, heart, and concern of Mother Teresa blended into one. He was, at the time, probably one of the, if not the, greatest human being to live. He was very rich, very influential. He had it all. And on paper, Job's life was enviable by all people. But the story of Job doesn't finish there. So here's this God-fearing man that has it all together, that has his life put together. And then I want you to see the circumstances that come, not because Job has done something wrong, but because life happened to him. And I have to acknowledge at this point, as much as there's a good God in heaven that wants good for you and has good plans for your life, there is equally an enemy that's bent on your destruction, meaning that enemy would love to see you abandon God, abandon his plans, and miss the goodness that God is purposing for you. And I want you to see how that enemy tries to work in Job's life. Job chapter 1, starting in verse 13, it says this. Now there was a day, Job's living his life, doing his Job thing. There was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And there came a messenger to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them." It's a rather typical day. "And the Sabians fell upon them, took them, and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." All right, Job, as a very wealthy individual, is met with some not great news, all right? This was probably a good normal day, taking a turn for a not so good day, because back in this day, this was Job's economic success. These were his animals that would do the work that provided for Job and his family and continued the money stream coming in for him. So, bad day, episode one. But the passage continues. "While that servant was yet speaking, there came another and said, 'The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you.'" So whatever just happened, Job now has doubly lost a lot of his economic value. That's a rough start to the day. The hits kind of keep coming for him. And the very next verse then says this, "While he was yet speaking," at some point Job's like, "No more servants, please." "There came another and said, 'The Chaldeans formed three groups, made a raid on the camels and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.'" Basically, what just took place in the period of just three verses, you have servants running up informing Job that the full weight of his economic influence and the money-making systems that he had in place were all gone. Wiped out, murdered, disaster fell upon them, and it's gone. Job's good day has turned into a bad day because the Jeff Bezos money train has stopped. It was over, like it was all eliminated. So this is hard, right? I assume, I don't know this, but if there's solace here, I think this is the moment where we remind ourselves, but those are just possessions, at least we still have our family, right? That's not easy to stomach when you're facing this. And just to confess, some of you, after the past year and a half we've had, the economic side, you may be sitting there saying, "I know what that feels like." That I've been in the moments where the hits just keep coming. That you feel like you hit the bottom and then another blow comes. And then you feel like it couldn't get much worse than this and more disaster strikes. That it's this season of just where you're thinking, how do we make it stop? And I want to acknowledge that as heavy as this was for Job, there are real life stories in this room or connected to this church that people would say, "I can put myself in Job's shoes. I know that sting." But the story of Job wasn't yet done, because the very next verse, verse 18, says this, "While he was yet speaking, there came another servant and said, 'Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking while in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came across the wilderness, struck the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you.'" It just keeps coming. I mean, Job's in a position where, I mean, he's lost it all. That's his livelihood, but that's his family. As a dad, while I can't put myself directly in those shoes, I cannot imagine the weight the hurt of losing a child, let alone all of them at once. Job was a broken man. The hits kept coming. I can just imagine the weight of servant after servant after servant. And we don't know the period of time, but it reads as if it's just one after another, after another, after another. And suddenly the next thing Job knows is he's taking a big, deep breath of thinking, I've lost everything. Like, it's gone. In the very next verse, verse 20, we see Job's response. Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell on the ground, and let's say worshiped. Worshiped? That's his response? Now, let me pause for a minute and address what everyone's thinking. Brian Hayes, our new Seminole campus pastor, and his question in our preach through this week was, am I a shaved head because I'm grieving? No, okay, I'm not in the midst of grieving. I haven't tore my clothes. This is just the look that I go for. Some heads God made in such a way that they don't need to be covered with hair, and that's my cross to bear. You hairy people, live your lives your way, okay? So no, I'm not grieving. I get to live this way. But don't miss the weight of what just occurred. Job, in a moment's notice, loses everything. He does the typical mediums of grief of the day by ripping and tearing his clothes, by shaving his head, by falling on the ground, and his response was worship. Worship. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Wow. Wow. I mean, it's hard to process that, because with everything Job has faced in that period of time of what he just went through, if I'm totally honest, there's part of me looking at this story thinking, Job, how did you land in a place where your response was worship? How did you land having just lost it all? And your response is, I have such confidence in the goodness of God that why on earth would I not enjoy when he gives and yet mourn when he takes, knowing that he is still God and I'm not? It's a powerful display of Job's faith. But to take it one step further, note what this verse says about Job in verse 22. In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. Wow. I mean, how does that land for you? Because as the preacher of the week, I've been sitting here wrestling, saying, God, I don't know that that's my first response. I don't know that if I go through what Job goes through, that my response is certainly, I would be feeling the emotion. I'm pretty confident of that. But to be able to go to God and say, God, I trust you. What do you do when it feels like you've lost? And let me talk to believers for just a moment. Those of you that are like me, doing our best to follow Jesus and live out the call that he's placed on our lives and to walk in the purpose that he's purposed for us, I submit to you that this is the loudest statement to the world about why we need God that we can make is how we respond to God when we suffer. Because it's easy to worship hands lifted high on the mountaintops. It's easy when life is good, when it's going our way and things are happening the way we would want them to. But the distinct difference that a polarized, charged, attacking, angry climate of the culture around us, what it needs to see is a group of people that at their lowest can say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Because even when he's good to me on the mountaintop, he's good to me in the valley and every space in between. And therefore I will say, God, I trust you. God, it hurts, but I will trust you. God, this is brutal, but I will trust you. And I would submit to you that the mark of a difference-making believer in the world, convincing them about why this is real and not some crutch for our lives, will be made in how we respond to suffering. Brutal. Didn't sin. Charge God with wrong. If you know the story of Job, you know that we still haven't hit rock bottom. Job chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Again, we see the enemy at work to do everything the enemy can to distract Job from what God was trying to do, and it looks like this. Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with loathsome sores from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Job took a piece of broken pottery with which to scrape himself while he sat in the ashes. He's in the ashes, still symbolically grieving and mourning, probably trying to figure out what just happened to him. And now his whole body, his health has been taken from him. And in that sorrow, he grabs a broken piece of pottery just to try to get some relief from the pain. Job's worshiping in that moment. But quite honestly, I resonate with the response of Job's wife. In verse 9, it tells us her response. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die, Job." But Job said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God? And shall we not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Now remember, God didn't cause any of this. This wasn't God's fault, but Job's perspective was such that he could trust even in saying, "God, I'm dying here. This is gut-wrenching, heart-ripping, but God, you've been so good to me that now's not the time for me to quit on you." I just feel like I even feel that pain. But see, the story of Job is actually intended to teach us and be a picture for us of the story of our lives. And I certainly hope that no one, this is not a wish or a prayer, that anyone would experience wave after wave after wave after wave after wave of loss like Job did. But there are two things that are definite about our lives here in these great United States of America: death and taxes. Am I right? Death is a part of this broken world. Things are fractured, and therefore death is a reality. And the story of Job is that none of us escape death. That's going to be part of it. It's 100% in its effectiveness of every human that's ever lived. No one's deviated from that. And that's the story that reminds us that we have to figure out what we do with death. Now, for some of us, this is the real life death and loss of relationship. It's loss of people, of loved ones. It's loss of marriages or circumstances that you thought you had. It's loss of plans and dreams. It's loss of hopes you had for your life. It's loss of the plans and dreams you had for your kids. Maybe it's a loss of a career. It's loss of what you thought was the right thing to do. It's loss of relationship with kid. Maybe it needs to be the death of a loss of putting down, of dying to the expectations or the keeping up of the Joneses to try to find worth and value in those spaces. Maybe it's simply the death of saying, "God, please let it stay green. Please let it stay green. Oh, it turned to red, the light." But death in all its forms, from the heaviest, weightiest, inescapable life-type death to the little micro things that we lose and that die along the way, even as part of our everyday lives. What are we going to do when it comes to death and who God is? What do we do when it feels like we've lost? If I could give you one thing to think about as you go through the rest of this day and even this week, I would give you this big idea. What do we do when we feel like we've lost? Well, we have a decision. And in that decision, we can choose to trust that only God can give purpose to our pain. We can choose to trust that only God can give purpose to our pain. And here's why I say that. It is only true about the Christian God that can give purpose to pain. No other world religion is able to claim that because no other world religion shares the story that we do. That God in heaven looks upon his broken world and doesn't look down with condemnation and judgment that we ought climb to be with him as if we could. We're all broken. We all feel the sting of the death and brokenness in this world. Instead, our God, the Christian God, emptied his godness in heaven, took on human flesh, and came to us in our death, in our brokenness, in our incompleteness, and in our suffering, and lived the life that we were unable to live on our own, which led that God, Jesus, who was fully God and fully man, to die the death on the cross that we deserve because of our sin and brokenness. And then, as if death had the final word, they placed the lifeless body of our Savior in a tomb. But the reason the Christian God can give purpose to pain is that 3 days later, Jesus rose, which then gave him victory over the death, so that death no longer would reign in our lives, but instead, in death, believers, we get to know life. It is only God, it is only the Christian God that makes life possible through death. And therefore, because that God knows the sting of an unjust, unfair death, but rose victoriously over it, only that God can make purpose in pain. And here's why. If there is no God, and we're all just evolving and navigating through life and figuring out things as they come, that life is just one big happenstance, then any pain, any hurt, any death, any grief, any loss that we face would just be something that comes upon us in life that we have to get over. And we have to evolve through it. We have to keep moving. But God says that he works all things together for our good and his glory. That's only the God of the believer. And that means in this world, there will be heartache. There will be brokenness, there will be pain, but there will come a day, and it may not be in this world, but there will come a day that we will be face to face with our Creator. And in that moment, he promises, it's not a hope, it's a promise from the God of the universe that he will wipe away every single tear. He will make right every single wrong. He will clearly communicate every single ounce of pain with the purpose behind which it existed in our lives. And there will be a space that all the wrong and the hurt that we felt will be made right because we'll be in the presence of a good and altogether different God. Is anybody thankful for that today? That hope only comes in Jesus. Because Jesus is the only one that has both died but rose to win the victory over death. So if you're hurting, if grieving, if feeling the weight of death in this life, can I encourage you with Psalm 34, verse 18, which is a promise recorded in Scripture that says this: the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. That if you feel the sting of death in its most extreme form, to the little deaths we experience as part of our daily lives. God does his best work. God is never more near to you than in that moment. If you're hurting, please take heart that the Lord is near. Look for him at work. And I know for a lot of folks, this isn't gonna make sense. I know it's like, well, why doesn't God just take it away? I don't know. But here's what I promise. I'm gonna give you an illustration. On October 30th, the day before Halloween, my 5-year-old Judah broke his arm on the playground. We had to go to the urgent care. And Judah had to get an x-ray on his arm. They needed to know what was wrong and how to fix it. But when Judah laid his arm on the x-ray table, it was insanely painful for him. It was putting pressure right on that pain point. I was with him. And so Judah is in that moment, and I'm sure his brain can't fully comprehend it, but all Judah knew is that he was in incredible pain, and his father was telling him he had to sit in it for a little bit longer. Don't move your arm, Judah. Don't pick it up, Judah. I know it hurts, Judah, but keep feeling that pain. Judah, don't move. And I'm sure as a 5-year-old, he's like, Dad, why are you doing this to me? Because Dad knew that to bring purpose, we had to go through the pain so that we could correct it. Judah didn't know that. I knew that. Just because Judah was in pain and Dad wasn't relieving him from it didn't mean that on a micro level that Dad wasn't working purpose into Judah's pain. Keep going. I know sometimes it hurts. I know it feels lonely. I know sometimes it seems God is absent, but keep going because God is never more near than when we're broken and crushed. Four things, note takers, four things to do when it feels, what do we do when it feels, seems like we've lost? Four things to stay focused on, and then I'll wrap this thing up, okay? Number one, what do we do when it seems like we've lost? Feel your emotions and feelings. Job didn't bottle that up, and neither should you or I. Bottling only hurts us, or it could potentially hurt others when that bottle explodes. Feel those feelings and take them to Jesus. Please hear me very clearly. Feel those feelings and take them to Jesus. You won't find the healing you're searching for if you feel those feelings and take them to Facebook. Do you see the difference? Take them to God. He sees them. He feels them. He knows what you're going through. Number two, God won't waste a weight. So when it feels like you've lost, you hold tightly to this truth because you remind yourself that in the waiting, in the hurt, in the loss, in the pain, and when you're experiencing death, God is never more near than in those moments. So keep your eyes open to see the signs of his nearness. He promises to be. God won't waste a wait. Number three, embrace your limits. Embrace your limits. In other words, it's okay to not be okay. Stop trying to pretend that you've got it all together. Why do we pretend that we're just fine on the outside when inside we're so desperately struggling? Embrace your limits. It's okay to not be okay, and it's okay to ask for help. Our church would be honored and count it a privilege to walk alongside you in the journey that you're on. Embrace those. Those are God-given. Lastly, last thing, choose humility. I know that might seem a little bit audacious for some of you to say choose humility when you're already going through such pain. If you want more information on these, again, these are pulled straight out of the Emotionally Healthy Spirituality book by Peter Scazzaro. We've been working through these in this series. You can find more of that here. But choose humility. That's what I see reflected in Job. Job didn't show up saying, God, this is your problem. God, this is your fault. Why did you do this to me, God? Because when we start choosing the pride of assigning the blame in those moments, we get stuck in those emotions instead of being able to trust God. Even when it hurts, I trust you. Choose humility. In the most hurtful, painful parts of life, when we have to navigate the brokenness that exists in this world, whether it's the extreme versions of death or the little deaths that happen to us along the way, I need to give you a reminder that is uniquely Jesus's to offer to you. Please remember when it feels like you've lost. Please remember that death must precede resurrection. Death must precede resurrection. And that's uniquely Jesus's experience to tell and offer. In other words, if you're in the midst of feeling so lost, so broken, so alone, so empty on the inside, then maybe the first death that I want to invite you to do today is to die to sin and self. Maybe it's time to quit trying to lay down, to let go, and just say, God, I'm broken and can't fix myself. And I submit to you that because of who Jesus is, what he's done on the cross, and because his tomb remains empty today, that the death to self will allow Jesus to resurrect you into a life of purpose that only he can offer. But maybe today that death needs to be the death of your plans for your life. Doing it your way, on your terms, in my timing, in the circumstances with which I want. Because if we'll put to death my plans, our plans, that's when our faith can come alive to a purpose that walks in the very plans we were created to walk in. And maybe it's about putting to death expectations, comparison, keeping up, trying to live up to a standard that even God hasn't set for you. But to put to death that expectation allows us to come alive to the freedom of knowing we're walking as a child of God. But so long as you and I hold on, so long as we don't surrender, so long as we try to do it ourselves, the resurrection work in our life is not possible. But the moment we say, God, it hurts, but I trust you. God, it hurts and I don't understand, but I trust you. God, I can't do it on my own, so I'll trust you. That death, it's a promise from God, will precede a resurrection. Remember, we can choose. We can choose in all things to trust that only God, only the Christian God, can give purpose to our pain. This won't take the pain away. This won't make everything right. It won't go back to normal. It's not a magic pill that fixes everything. But man, you take hope out of death and loss. And that's a lonely place to be. So in those moments, choose to trust. God, this hurts, but I trust you. Allow God to be God, to do that resurrecting work, and you'll discover what it means to navigate deep waters. Would you all pray with me? God, I can just sense the weight. I feel the weight. I've lived the weight that, God, this world is broken, and I know that it's not the way you intended it. But God, your heart for us is so real and so evident. So for everyone that's heard this message, God, would you give them enough courage to feel? Would you give them enough courage to see and try to sense how you're at work, knowing that you're near when we're broken and crushed? Would you help us to acknowledge when we're not okay, when we need help? And God, would you keep our posture like Job's that says, in all things, blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your death. But your resurrection that can lead to our life. help us trust you and trust you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I don't know how today's message lands specifically for you, but whatever your situation is, maybe it's time to admit that you can't, but God can. The joy that can be found in the midst of life's deepest hurts can only be found in Jesus. God is never more near than when we are broken, and we can trust that God can give purpose to our pain. At Bridgepoint, we'd love to walk with you through life. So if you're going through something and would like to talk to us or pray with somebody about it, please use the online contact card to let us know. You can find it at bridgepointfl.com/connectcard. Have a great week, everyone.